Amen. Amen. So Tim said it's going to be a really different kind of service today, and it is. We are going to get to celebrate some of the things that mark our lives. And we're going to start this morning talking about baby dedication. There are lots of stories in Scripture of parents who brought their children to the temple, to the church, and dedicated them to the Lord. And of course, we know that when a parent dedicates their child to the Lord, they're really dedicating themselves as a parent to walk with God, to serve God, and to raise that child up in a certain way. Danielle and I dedicated our kids here at the church, so here we are. So there's Evie, and she didn't miss the opportunity to wave to the crowd. Evie, you want to come up and just come up real quick? All right, here, and just wave.
Hello, crowd.
That's the bashful one. But, you know, as important as that is to Danielle and I, that we dedicated our children, Evie and then Aaron, when they were born, to be part of the church here, I thought it would be really cool, actually, to step back a generation. And I wanted to invite, and we're going to do this throughout the morning this morning, we're going to invite different people up on the stage to talk about what we're celebrating. But I'm going to invite up my parents. So Pastor Charlie and Janice, if you guys would come on up here and join me. That's for you.
Is it on?
It is.
Yeah. I really appreciate you clapping for Janice.
So this picture's 40 years old now, believe it or not. And so you guys made the decision when I was little to bring me to church, to dedicate me. So, Mom, maybe just tell us that story. Like, what went into that decision to decide to dedicate your baby boy, your beautiful baby boy.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Almost 41 years ago. Just thought I'd be clear on that. Your dad and I were fairly new Christians, and we had waited a long time for you. We prayed for you, and we begged God for you, because we did. And as new Christians, we got our direction. We didn't know how to live a Christian life, so we sought the Bible. We read the Bible a lot, and we took our direction from the Bible and from our pastor, actually. Like, what do we do? How do we do this? And the Bible, like you said, has stories about Hannah. For example, Hannah didn't have a child. She begged the Lord for a child, and God gave it to her. Feel bad with my back toward you guys. I'm not trying to be rude. And she said, if you will give me a son, I will bring him to the temple. And she did. And Mary and Joseph, when baby Jesus was born, they brought him to the temple and they dedicated him to the Lord. So we felt that it was really important to dedicate you from the very beginning to the Lord, because we were very serious about our walk with God. And it was a promise, a covenant relationship that we made with him to raise not only you, but your sisters as well. We weren't always perfect at it, but we wanted to make that decision early on.
So it very much is like a covenantal kind of thing, mm-hmm. right? So covenant is not something we talk about a lot. It's a sacred promise before God. And so when we do baby dedication, like, recognize this is a really significant thing. This isn't just like a religious symbolism kind of thing. This is really significant. In fact, it changed the trajectory of our family in a lot of ways. Mom, I know that when you were baptized, you were pregnant with me. So that's a
right.
fun story. So
that's right. I was very pregnant with you.
So that's kind of a cool part, kind of where this fits in your faith journey. In fact, we have a picture here. I'm being held, Dad, by your mom and my grandfather, and then on the right there, Mom, are your parents. So this was a significant thing in the course of our family, In fact, I think I'm wearing my... Whose baptismal gown is it?
Great-great-grandfather's.
Okay. It was my great-great-grandfather's.
Okay.
Okay, right. There you go.
So, Dad, tell us about sort of the significance of this, the spiritual family, like the significance of this commitment.
We were both raised in church, and my understanding, I was raised Methodist, and we did infant christening, infant baptism. And when we decided to really follow Jesus, and, you know, I'm thinking we accepted Christ. And as I say that, I want to qualify that, because we almost sometimes seem to say, well, I'm living my life and I'm going to accept Christ into what I'm doing. When the reality is God is there, and accepting his forgiveness means everything changes. Absolutely everything. I am going to orient myself. I am going to focus. I'm going to live. And so we sought out people. We were involved in church. We read our Bibles. And this is something that we see very clearly in Scripture. It's a covenant that we as parents and the church makes to take responsibility. A child is the most precious gift. And yet we lose that because it's a gift that so many people receive. But to really step back and think, there is something just awesome about a new baby. It changes everything. So, you know, we see in the picture now, our decision, Seth mentioned that it kind of changed the trajectory. Some people thought we were getting a little too religious and some things like that. But... our lives are marked by things like dedication to God, marriage. There are things that we do. Now, the world wants to throw a million things at it and say, well, here's what you should celebrate. The World Series, the Super Bowl, a new job, whatever. But as a Christian, if we're not focusing on the commitments we make to God and to other people and living them out as carefully and as intentionally as we can, we missed the opportunity. And as a parent, we recognized that our responsibility is to demonstrate, live out in front of our children as best we can in our limited ability, the character of God. There is right and wrong. We need to teach that. There is grace. There is mercy. There is forgiveness. And going back to some of this and remembering that commitment that we made, it's just really important to me.
That's a good word. So before Tim comes up and the families come up that are dedicating their kids today, anything that you would say to, you know, people who maybe are expecting or new parents or considering whether dedicating their children is the thing for them, just any kind of closing thoughts?
I would just remind you that God gives parents to children. And it's our job as parents to represent him to them. We are that person. We are God's love, like Charlie said, his grace, his mercy, his discipline, all of those things. That is a parent's responsibility, and it is critical and beautiful.
Well said.
Hey, thank you guys. Thank you so much. Pastor Tim is going to come up at this time. And I feel like I should have a mic to hand off to you.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Weird. You said, of course. All right, so if I could have Rosemary and the Rikichis come up. How about the Daniels? Come on up, Daniels. And the Hendersons, come on up. Sweetie, you could come right up on stage. It's exciting. Look at that beautiful dress. That is awesome. I know it's going to be kind of tight up here, but go ahead and if you guys can stand up there. Hey, guys. How you doing? Come on up. I'm going to let you stand in the front because it's about you. Hi, Kimora. Good morning. All right. So with us today, we have David and Tracy Daniels with their children, David and Kimora. We also have Clay and Kimberly Henderson with their son, Clay. And And on the very end, we have Rosemarie Ricchici with her daughter, Ariella. So I'm going to read some things. If you guys just can pay attention, that'd be great. Don't fall asleep, okay, David? All right, buddy. There we go. So as we had just heard, the Holy Scripture records for us that Elkanah and his wife brought their child Eli, saying, "O Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here, praying to the Lord for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted for me petition which I asked of him. Therefore, I have also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." And that's from 1 Samuel 1:26-28. So parents, in presenting your child for dedication to God, you express your love for them and your desire for the very best in their lives. You desire that they may grow not only in strength and knowledge, but also in the fear and favor of God. With that in mind, you must be careful to oversee every influence that may affect their youthful mind and constantly encourage them to follow the Lord. And even more importantly, you must set an example for them by doing so yourself. Therefore, with this church family as witnesses, I challenge you in the presence of Almighty God to constantly surrender your children with every godly influence and with your fervent prayers and unconditional love so that they may come to know God as Father, Jesus Christ as Savior, and the Holy Spirit as Guide. Knowing from Deuteronomy 6 that God has given parents the primary responsibility, as Janet just said, for the spiritual training of their children, do each of you, as parents of your children, solemnly promise to God and these witnesses that you will, to the best of your ability, strive to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Will you be careful in your own conduct to live as Christian believers and as wholesome examples to your children? Will you constantly pray for them and seek to teach them to avoid all evil habits and influences and to turn their minds to the Holy Scriptures and their feet to the house of God early, seeking to lead them to Christ when you feel that they understand the meaning of your efforts? And will you also make use of all helps that God gives you through godly family and through the teaching and training ministries of your church? If you agree to that, please say, "We do." We do. So, do you also dedicate yourself as parents to raise your children in training and admonition of the Lord? If you do, please say, "We do."
We do.
Do you promise to instruct them in the Bible and in the practice of prayer to guide them in the development of Christ-like character and to delightfully bring to the services of the church where they will be taught the way of life? And also, do you try to the best of your abilities to shape your home life for your child by family devotions, by your words and your example, so that they will come to receive and confess Christ when old enough to understand and come to the fellowship of the service of the church? We do. And the church family, do you promise to pray for these wonderful families as they do their very best to raise their children in this insane world? Yes. Wonderful. So, children, you ready, Clay? This is your big moment. So I now dedicate you all to God and to the service of his kingdom in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right, let's pray real quick over these wonderful children. So kids, I'm going to ask you to all come over here with me. Can you come over here, Kimora? Come on, have a seat. Come here, sweetie. Come here, David. You sit right next to me, boy. Because I've had you in children's church. Come here, Clay. All right, so we're just going to go ahead and pray. Parents, if you can kind of stand around us, that'd be great. We're going to pray real quick for you, okay? All right, let's pray. Bow your head. All right, Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just lift these beautiful children up to you, God. We ask for your hands of protection over them and their hearts so that as they grow up in this world, God, that they seek you and not worldly influences, God. And what a great gift that you have given these parents and these four beautiful kids, God. I lift them up to you, God. I ask that their decisions are honoring to you, that the words they use are uplifting for their children, God, and that they are godly examples for their children each and every day. So, God, thank you for the special time that these families have, God. I pray that this is an important time in their lives where they remember the day that they dedicated their children to you. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for this opportunity. In your great and precious name we pray. And all God's people said,
"She was a person of strength that came from joy." Cindy reminded me of Jesus. Our church is a place where we do get to celebrate together. We celebrate highs and we celebrate lows, and we do it in community together. And one of the things that I love about our church is that we are a generous people. We are a giving people. You guys serve, you give, you roll up your sleeves, you get involved, you help each other out, you commit to the kingdom of God. And a lot of churches have different kinds of giving philosophies and giving programs. Our church, I love the way that we do things at our church. And what we do is we get really involved. When we commit to a ministry that we partner with, that we support financially, we also look for ways that we can get involved in internships and work projects and staff people that work for some of these ministries. And so all through the last month, we have been recognizing the different ministries that we partner with as a church. And so today, as you saw the video of those kind of happy smiles from camp, we get to recognize and hear from High Point Camp. And so I'm going to invite Tom Lamborn, who's the executive director of High Point, to come on up. Hey, Tom. And so our church, we've sent campers to High Point. We've done a work project there. Many of you have been part of that, so thank you for that. But so, Tom, for those of us who maybe haven't been to High Point, don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself and just kind of let us know why the ministry of High Point is so important in your life.
Well, first of all, thank you for having us. I say us because I have some of our crew who many of your kids know. Sarah, Autumn, Treasure, and Eli are over here. They've all worked at the camp. And they were very excited about coming here this morning until I told them what time we had to leave. And then I had to convince them. But no, they're glad to be here. And hopefully you guys get to catch up with them as well. But camp ministry is very important to me for a couple of very specific reasons. I remember the very first time I went to camp. I was in third grade. I grew up in Ohio. I was there in Ohio for a few years. And I went to a camp called Skyview Ranch. And my counselor's name was Tim. That was kind of, I'm going to go back. That was 30-some years ago. But Tim made an impact in my life. And I continued to go to camp. And 25 years ago, this past August, August 12th, 1992, when I was 14 years old, I accepted Christ at a Christian camp. And so camp ministry changed my life. I got away for the week. I spent time in a cabin with a godly college student that poured into me. And because of that relationship and the ministry of the Word of God, my life was changed. And having the opportunity then, when I got to be in college, I said, you know what? I want to do that same thing. And I was a counselor at High Point starting in 1996 after my freshman year, which they should have never hired me after my freshman year. I was very immature, but I had a lot of fun. probably not the fun the director wanted me to have, but
immaturity and fun, sometimes those things go
together. Yes, they do.
Wrong ways. Yeah.
But having the opportunity then, since then, to see so many other lives changed in the very same way that my life was changed. Matter of fact, we were celebrating this past summer. 139 kids that we know of trusted Christ this past summer at camp, which is incredible. Those three happened at camp, but a couple of things. We got a phone call from a mom saying, hey, the next day when her son got home from camp, she was able to lead him to the Lord. There was a girl, some of you guys know TK. You guys know who I'm talking about, TK. TK's mom, TK's from Japan. TK's mom brought a girl from Japan. On the flight back to Japan, she trusted Christ after camp. And one of our counselors got a text a week after camp saying that his camper had trusted Christ. So 139 of them at camp, 142 that we know of. So my life has been impacted. I thoroughly just love to see other lives impacted. And I get to do that in a very real way, to see that happen at camp. So that's why it's just near and dear to me, and I love it.
What a cool blessing to like be able to spend your life doing something that made a difference in your life, and you get to see the real difference that it makes. So Many of us have been to camp. We have great memories of, you know, church camp and summer camp from when we were kids. And probably some of us have never been to camp. Like, it's like, we don't really know exactly what happened. So tell us a little bit about kind of High Point and kind of what you do there. And maybe especially, like, what you do that makes those connections that you're talking about between a kid and Jesus.
Yeah. So we have a mission statement, and our mission statement says that High Point Camp exists to build up believers in the faith and evangelize the lost in the context of a quality Christian camp experience. Now, that's huge and long and clunky, right? But build up believers in the faith and evangelize the lost. Those are two things. And we've boiled that down to a little phrase that we've used over the last few years. We say that we exist to equip campers to follow God and walk in love. It comes right from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Where it says, be imitators of God and walk in love with those around you. And that's what we want. And so in there, you see two things: follow God and then walk in love. So we have a relationship with God and we have a relationship with people. And we see that happen in two different ways. Over and over and over and over in Scripture, we see that we can fight off sin, that we can have victory in life. Matter of fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says that we have been given all things through the divine power of God, and we've been given all things in that divine power for life and godliness. And then the next phrase is, through the knowledge of the Son. And over and over and over Scripture, we see through the knowledge of the Son, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so following God and walk in love, if we want to do those things well, we have to keep pointing kids to Scripture. And so in our day and all through camp, if you were to, and the kids will be able to attest, there are just things over and over and over where we're pointing kids to Scripture. Now, we have loads of fun, and camp is all about fun, but from Scripture memory time to chapel time to one-on-one conversations with the counselor that are spiritually minded conversations and headed in a spiritual direction, to breakout sessions where kids can choose topics that they want to go and hear about what they're dealing with in their own lives. Constantly pointing kids to Scripture, constantly pointing kids to Scripture over and over and over, because what we know in Scripture is life. But we do that through relationship. And those relationships take place with our college students that come and work for us, and our goal as director staff is to pour into their lives so that they can then pour into the lives of the students. And in those relationships, some kids come to camp and see love for the very first time. They've never seen love at home. They see that for the very first time. But like many of your kids, they do see love at home, but they go to camp and they just have an incredible experience with a counselor that loves them and loves the Lord. And in the relationship, pointing people to the Word, lives are changed. And we don't ever want to change those two things, that it's about people and how God uses people, right? And we do that through people, but those people are constantly speaking truth by using the Word of God, because it's our only source of inerrant truth, right? And we want to keep pointing them back to Scripture. So
kind of living a life, pointing people to Christ, walking in relationship, helping people know God. I mean, that sounds like life. I mean, that sounds like what we do every day.
But camp's way more fun than every day.
And more focused, right? Because you just get to make everything about Scripture. And Scripture is fun. So, you know, many of our folks have been to camp, have been to High Point. Many of our folks, maybe we could have folks who are new here, or folks maybe who've given to the camp, and they don't know maybe how directly what we're doing is impacting the ministry at High Point. So maybe you could just say, what is the generosity of this church doing at High Point?
Yeah, so many of you do know, and some of you may not, what all Townsend Church does at High Point Camp. You not only send campers, but you have sent work teams to us that have come and volunteered. I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a second. But then you also give, and quarterly gifts come to the camp. And let me just kind of say a couple of things about all three of those things. Number one, sending campers. I've told Pastor Alan and Pastor Tim several times, the fact that y'all keep coming and spending time there with us is encouraging to us that, okay, we must be doing something right if these good, godly guys, and I'm talking about Pastor Tim and Pastor Alan, Now, if these guys will keep coming and bringing their church, and it's encouraging to us. With the work teams, let me give you a couple of examples. Your work teams have done a number of different things, but they've come and they've built a set of hexagon swings. It's like porch swing type thing, but in a shape of a hexagon with a whole bunch of them there.
We actually have some. We built some over
here. Okay. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. And I was even talking with Sarah, one of our counselors from this past summer, whose cabin was right outside that swing. And she was saying that had many spiritual conversations sitting on that swing. Now, might that swing have been there if Townsend Church hadn't come? Maybe. But the fact that you guys came and did that enabled spiritual conversations in a great location to take place. Some of the crew came and fixed our blob tower. We have a blob. The kids all know what the blob is. If you don't know what the blob is, I probably don't have time to explain it right now, but you should check out the videos from your kids. Came and fixed our blob tower that just needed some repair work done. And the blob is all about fun. It is purely about fun. But what we see is that fun, if a kid comes to camp and he's having the time of his life, he is so much more receptive when it comes to chapel time, when it comes time to spiritual conversations. Because this is incredible. I love this place. I'm having so much fun. Yeah, I'll listen to what you have to say. And so you guys coming and repairing those things makes a huge impact in the fun level of the kids, which makes a huge impact in the spiritual receptiveness of the kids. When it comes to the money that you're giving, we used some of the money that you spent or that you sent last year specifically to buy mattresses for several of our cabins. We had thin foam mattresses and we went to 8-inch thick, nice box spring mattresses that make it so much more comfortable to sleep. Why? Because when a kid gets to chapel, if he's tired because he's had a rough night of sleep, he's not listening, he's sleeping. And so your money goes to things that will improve the gospel receptiveness of campers. And so whether it's money or whether it's time or whether it's campers, all of those things are helping us do the ministry. And honestly, our ministry is to serve churches. God gave the work of redeeming this generation to the church, not to the camp. But if we can come alongside and serve churches and aid Townsend Church and High Point Baptist Chapel and other churches in their ministry and in reaching their young people, then that's what we're out there to do. But you guys have chosen to partner with us in that. And so thank you very much. But that's how it's going. Whether it's money or time, it is gospel work. If it's swinging a hammer, it is for the gospel. If it's sending a check, it is for the gospel. And kids' lives are being changed because of it.
So you know what I love about that story is that there are kids who, the moment they will remember all their lives, they'll be an adult, they'll be telling their kids about the day that they said yes to Jesus for the mm-hmm. very first time, and they were at camp, and they remember the swing that they were sitting on, and that becomes like a center point of their whole life story that we got to be a part of.
Yeah.
How cool is that? That's awesome.
Case in point of exactly what you just said, I was recently at the camp that I got saved at. It's not too far from High Point, and I went to the spot and I said, my counselor's name was Tom as well. I said, his name was Tom Fritz. And I went to that spot and I said, Tom Fritz led me to the Lord right there.
Awesome.
And when I was done, there was this weight. If you got saved later in life, I was 14, but I remember the release of a burden. Like I felt that. And the basketball court at that camp was right down from where I got saved. And I couldn't wait to go run around. I was just like, there was this joy and freedom. And I went down and played basketball. And I just remember that exact thing. Yeah, it's cool.
All right. So there's no sermon this morning, but I think we're kind of getting the sermon sort of through all this. We're hearing about what God is doing. So just last question before Alan comes back up. If there was anything that you wanted to say, any message that you wanted to bring to the congregation here, to the church family.
Yeah, I guess the big thing is I'd just like to say thank you for all that you do. And some of you may not even know that you do it. You put a check in the offering plate, and then the church sends a check to High Point to help support our ongoing things. But I just want to say thank you for all that you have done. I want to say thank you for this. I don't know if it's a concerted effort, but your church has allowed Pastor Tim and Pastor Allen and Brandy and Sally and Jen and others to come and spend time at camp during the weeks that your kids are there. And our staff loves your pastoral staff and their wives and those that come to camp. Your pastors pour into us. And we just love that. And so thank you for giving them the opportunity. It may sound like, oh, Pastor Allen's just going to hang out a week at a camp. Pastor Allen is coming and he is encouraging us and spending time with us and pouring into us and to our staff. And part of that's the reason that four of them are sitting here. And I guarantee if Josh Racinos or other staff members that could have come from a distance would have been able to make it, there would have been a whole crew of people. But our staff is all spread out across the country at various colleges and things. But I just want to say thank you for allowing them to come, for the ongoing support and for the prayers. I know many of you are praying for us, and we appreciate all of that. So thank you very much for your involvement and not only in the life of High Point Camp and us specifically, but in the lives of thousands of kids that you have allowed to hear the gospel by what you are doing. So thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, will you guys say thank you to come?
So why don't you do this for me real quick? Why don't you stand up right where you're at? And I'm going to serenade you. I'm just kidding. But I want you to look to the person beside you. And here's what I want you to say to him. Thanks for coming today. Hey, baby. All right, that's good, that's good. I'm just kidding. You can have a seat. I just want you to stretch your legs. Today's going to be a little bit extra long than normal, just because we've got so much to celebrate. You can have a seat. I'm really glad that you're here. I personally love High Point Camp. I don't know how long we've been going. It's probably 6, 7, 8, 9 years. It's been a while. And it has been a blessing every time we go. He says we pour into them, but they absolutely pour into us. They spoil us when we get up there. We get to just chill and actually pour into our kids and have the opportunity to work with their own counselors. It's a ton of fun. And so thank you guys for the way that you support. I just want to take a few minutes and brag on you. It is an absolute joy to be a pastor here, to do life with you, to walk with you. There are days that are harder than others, and there are days that are better than others. But all of them melded together always bring us back to the one reason that we're here, and that is to serve and to exalt Jesus Christ, because he is the reason why we live. And so the fact that you're here this morning and you came to celebrate and you came to eat barbecue, which isn't here yet, and that's stressing me out because I don't see them. I tell you what, if they don't show up, we're all going to hop on the bus. We're all going to go to the store and just bombard it. How about that? Just kidding. But they better show up. That's all I gotta say. But it is a joy to come on a Monday morning and meet with our staff. Monday meetings are not a bore to us. They're exciting because we get to reflect on the weekend and we get to think about what's coming up. And then Thursday meetings are where we meet and we talk about what's coming and how can we make things better? How can we reach people better? How can we take Townsend Church to that next step? How can we reach our community better? We just sent a team down to Chile. You probably didn't know that, but I sent 6 people down to Chile to look at a church camp that actually is associated with High Point Camp, of a possibility that we may be supporting them missionally. I'm going to be meeting with that team today to find out what they saw, what they heard, and what they felt. This is just what you're being a part of. I realize that you may never go to camp, but the fact that you come and you give your offering, it is affecting many, many kids' lives, not just the kids' lives, but the counselors that go, it's affecting their lives. The people, the adults that show up, it's affecting their lives. You are making a huge impact, not just right here when we sit on our seats. You're making a big impact. In fact, if you look at our numbers for the last 5 years, we are steadily growing. That's cause for celebration. It is a nice, steady growth, and it's a healthy growth. You know, I'm not a big numbers guy. I really don't pay attention too much, but I do look. Our attendance is up. Better than it's ever been. Our giving is up better than it's ever been. We have almost already met our budget already this year, and we're only in October. That's huge for us. It's better than it's ever been financially and money in the bank. We're in the best position we've ever been. Do you know why that is? Let me give you a couple of reasons. You're being faithful. But you're also seeing God be faithful, and it's encouraging your heart to continue to buy into what he's got going on. And so I applaud you. I want to encourage you, keep doing that. Just because I tell you we got lots of money in the bank, I'm getting ready to spend most of it. So we need you to keep giving. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's exciting stuff. There's things that are happening, and you are a part of it. You get to come every Sunday morning and see your church filled. You get to worship. You get to hear the truth being taught. And then you get to go live it outside of here. That's exciting stuff. Oh, I forgot what else I was going to say. It's weird not being preachery today. But let me read something to you this morning. Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Can you really do that at all times? Should be able to. If your heart is where it's supposed to be and you're living the life the way you're supposed to be living it, no matter what comes, Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am, I'm content. I'm okay. I know how to abound and I know how to not have anything. I know how to be in a good spot and in a bad spot. The psalmist says, I'm going to praise God no matter what, wherever I'm at. He says, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's why you're here this morning. We get to celebrate not just some cool things watching parents dedicate their kids, not just to celebrate what Tom's able to accomplish at camp and we get to have a part in it, not just to celebrate baptisms. We are celebrating the moving of God right before our very eyes, and we are celebrating that. I think that's the thing that sometimes we get a little backwards on, is we think that it's just about these things that we're doing. Many of you are waiting for me to get up here and throw out a big sermon. What if the sermon is simply celebrating what God is doing in front of our face that we fail to recognize so many different times? It says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Some of you have lived out verse 4. I'll read it again. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Some of you have lived that out the last few weeks. You were fearful, but you sought the Lord and you trusted him. And look what happened. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Now listen to this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed not in financial gain or in stuff, but blessed in your soul, true inner peace and joy. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. What we are doing this morning is trying to help you see and learn how to taste that the Lord is good. To see that the Lord is good. Because I think sometimes we as believers fail in that. We forget. We get so busy. We get so bought into all of our drama and our junk, and we fail to see what God is doing in the little things around us because we can't see it because all the big stuff that's going on. The psalmist says, whoa, 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 whoa. Take a breath. You got a hard spot? Seek the Lord. Trust him. And when you can do that, you will taste and see just how good our God really is. You were hearing about it. I love listening to all the things that Tom gets to share about camp. I wish I could be there all summer long just to be a part of all the cool stuff that takes place. And yet I really am. Because we give to that. We get to celebrate in that. We get to see it and we get to taste it. In just a moment, we're going to be doing some baptisms. You talk about celebration. Listen, this place should erupt every time a person is baptized because they are making a public declaration of this is what I'm following. This is who I'm serving. This is now my life. That's cause to celebrate. When parents dedicate their children to the Lord, that's cause to celebrate. They are choosing to forego the different route, the harder route than the world says. Why? Because it's important. It's vital. One of the things that I love to celebrate here at our church is the spiritual growth, the spiritual temperature. Been here since 2005. Been in church all my life, really. Probably before I was born. I've never in my life, and I'm not saying this because I get to be the pastor of this church, I've never in my life experienced what I'm experiencing here. Not sure why that is, but God just loves being here, and it's because you love being in his presence. And so that's cause for me as your pastor to celebrate, but it's also cause for me to say, it's time to take another step. So you better be ready, just saying. Listen, there is so much potential for growth here. I'm not interested in explosion in growth. I can't manage that. But slow, consistent, hearty, deep spiritual growth and numbers growth, I am very content with. And I am ready to celebrate that as it takes place. I want you to think about our Upward program. We've been doing Upward now for 10 years. 10 years. And for the last 2 years, or last year and this year, we are finally on our own property. That is something that we're celebrating. The amount of football players, we're over 200, right? 215. We've never, ever had that many football players without cheerleaders. 215 young lives that we get to influence every week, every Saturday. Do you have any idea what we started with? Was it like 80? 84. Listen, our first year was 84. And 10 years later, we're more than double. Basketball is over 300, right? 350 is for basketball. Listen, if you've never ever come to an Upward Saturday, I love you, but shame on you. Listen, you want to talk about how can we make an impact in our community? It's already there for you. You just got to come. Just be there. Just wear your Townsend shirt. Doesn't matter, just come and look what God is doing. That's how we taste and see how amazing and how awesome he really is. You are making a stamp in the community. The fact that we painted our pink house gray makes a stamp in our community. Because people will say, that old pink house, and I'm like, oh, no, it's gray now, thank you. But we are leaving a mark, but we want to leave a bigger mark. That requires you to do something outside of these walls. I'm glad that you're here, but this is not where the Christian life is lived. It is lived outside of here. And we want to encourage you. We want to build you up and then kick you out. Go live this life, man. Go encourage people. Let them see the joy of your Lord. In fact, go be a Cindy. I realize the stuff that you've got going on in your life may not be as bad as what she's going on, and it may be worse. But it shouldn't matter because the joy of the Lord is your strength and you should be able to go in that strength and live life how it was meant to be lived. We finally have a safe place to invite people back. I will be very honest, there was a time where I did not invite people. But now I can't stop talking about it. I love being here. My kids, my poor kids, Sally is away at a family funeral down in Florida, and the poor kids had to get up very early with me. And they're like, Dad, why are you going so early? And I'm like, I just want to be there. That's my game. This is my game day. Like, I want to be early. I want to be ready. Do you know why? Because I love doing this. I love being here with you guys. I love promoting Christ and watching your lives change and be encouraged. That's fun for me. It's fun. And it should be fun for you. And I hope and pray that you love being here. In fact, we hope and pray that you love your church so much that we created sweatshirts and t-shirts for you to purchase. Also, they did not make it in, and we are unhappy about it, but they didn't make it in. But we have quarter zip type long sleeve, what would you call them, Danielle? Pullovers, thank you. And polos with an embroidered logo. They're not here today. If you noticed steam rising up over here, it's from Danielle. Danielle has worked tirelessly to get this for us, and it just did not come through. But they will be here. So you've got a month to place orders, to make sure that you have gear to support your church. We're not making a lot of money off of it, if anything. This is for you to be able to purchase as reasonable as we can make it to where you can promote your church and what God is doing here at Townsend Church. So the coolest thing about all of this is, when you've got a place that's happening, when you've got a place that people are excited to be a part of, when you have a place that people want to be a part of, people want to be a part of your membership. People show up and they say, hey, you've got some cool stuff going on. We want to be a part of that. And so this morning, I'm going to call up quite a few people that are going to come stand right up here in front of me, and they want to join the church today. Is that not exciting? That's exciting to me. So if I could have David and Tracy Daniels. Come on up. I know, twice in one day, dude. It's tough. But you're so good looking, we just could not only have you up here once. Let me have Thomas and Lydia D'Antonio. Noreen Dodge. Come on up. You can stand right up here in front of me so I can look down on you. Just kidding. Alberta Erickson. She's so excited, by the way. So don't anybody look at her as she comes up here. Kimberly Henderson. Savannah Poorman, who is back from Texas. Miss Rosemarie Ricchici. That's a lot of fun to say, by the way. Lexley and Misha Thompson. Leslie Correll. And last but not least, Miss Eileen Martin. So these fine folks, here's what they're agreeing to, in case you're unfamiliar or you have forgotten what you signed up for as a member of our church. But they have agreed to actively participate in the activities of our church. We do not expect them to be here for everything, but we want them to get involved, just like we expect you guys as members of our church to be involved with what we got going on. We are asking them to live generously with their time, their talent, and of course their treasure. We are asking them to use their spiritual gifts. And if you are out there and you're not sure what your spiritual gifts are, please come see one of us. We'll be glad to guide you through that. We don't know, but there's an online assessment that can help us get to a better position to see what you can use your spiritual gifts for. They're going to strive to live holy lives. That's the hardest one for all of us, is it not? The world is a tough place, a lot of influences, but they are agreeing to strive to live holy lives. And can I just say, Dickie's Barbecue is getting set up, so amen. Sorry, I am so sorry. I have not had breakfast yet, so that was a hungry pastor speaking. And the last one is they are committed to being involved in healthy, God-honoring relationships. And again, that's tough for us because a lot of relationships that we're involved in, we are called to be a part. But the influence that they have on us, we have to be very careful with that. So as the members that you are sitting there, can I have an agreeance today of aye that we accept these into our membership today?
Aye.
Any opposed? Good. Awesome. I'm going to come down and shake your hand really quick, and then you can go back and sit down. Thank you guys so much. Glad you're a part, man. Glad you guys are a part. See, that wasn't bad. All done. Hey, man. Yay. Thank you guys so much. God bless you. God bless you. Absolutely. Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. So, hey, can you turn me back on? So if I could have all those that are getting baptized that we've had the conversations with, if the ladies will enter in my office right over there, guys, if you'll come right over here and through Pastor Charlie's office, we're going to have another interview, but we're getting set up for the best part of the day. So excited, sorry.
So baptism is a public and outward display of something really important happening on the inside. About a year ago, the Philadelphia Eagles were playing the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. They do that every year. And I was in Washington State. I actually had to fly during the game. And I realized that my connecting flight was going to land at the Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport while the game was on. And I had about a two-hour layover there in Dallas during the game. So naturally, I wore my Carson Wentz jersey and walked through the Dallas airport wearing my Eagles gear. And I was looking for some place that had the game on. And there was this great big restaurant with like a whole bunch of TVs called the Dallas Cowboys Club. And so, hey, in my Carson Wentz jersey, I'm standing there watching the game and kind of keeping an eye on the clock because my flight's about to board. And what happened was I found like one other Eagles fan, right? And we stood next to each other, kind of like maybe there's strength in a small number. But there's just, you know, huge crowds of people in their old Emmett Smith jerseys and Cowboys fans and loud and raucous. And, you know, the Eagles were in the process of losing that game. And so as I walked back to the gate where my flight was taking off, you know, people are yelling at me. I'm getting cussed at, and you know, they're berating Carson Wentz and the whole thing. And I smiled, right? Because I mean, for one thing, there's like a TSA agent like every 5 feet. They can't start anything. But then, secondly, it was like I kind of invited that, right? Because I kind of made this like brash statement by going to Dallas in my Eagles jersey. And it was just a good reminder for me of an outward representation of something that was important to me on the inside. And so putting on an Eagles jersey doesn't make me an Eagles fan. It doesn't make me care about the outcome of the game, but it was an outward representation, kind of a silly thing. So let me give a more significant representation. I wear this every day for the past 15 years. This is my wedding ring. And I wear this because I want people to know about a commitment that's deeply important to me. Having this ring on doesn't make me married any more than taking it off makes me unmarried. But it's a symbolic and significant representation of a commitment that's in my heart, of something that's deeply important to me. And baptism, being baptized, doesn't make you saved, but it is an outward representation of something that's deeply significant and life-changing that's inside of us. And so I'm going to invite Michelle Lee to come up. And Michelle is going to come join me up here. We're going to do another interview as we get ready to celebrate baptism. And so just like the wedding ring is part of being married, it's part of the wedding ceremony, baptism is kind of part of what we do. It's kind of part of how we show our commitment, our love for Christ. So thank you, Michelle, for coming up here and for joining us. I think you're all set here.
Is it on?
I don't know. Is it on, Dave?
It's on.
All right. Okay, so, Michelle, you were baptized here at the church about 2 years ago, and it was New Year's Eve, but that's actually not your whole baptism story. So you had been baptized before, So tell us that story.
I was baptized when I was about 8 years old. I remember vividly deciding I was going to be baptized, and I was telling my Sunday school teacher. So I was telling her about it, you know, I was going to be baptized, and she got so excited, and I looked at her and thought, what's the big deal? You know, I really didn't understand what the big deal was. So I went ahead and got baptized, and then fast forward about 20 years, I came back to church. I had my own kids, and I thought, okay, they need to be in church and learn. But after I got baptized, reading the Bible and going to church and seeing that made me think, okay, well, I want to be a part of that. But after going out of church at home, I was seeing something totally different. So reading about it and experiencing it is two totally different things. So I kind of got away from it. I was like, I don't want a part of that. But I brought my children back, and for me, I was modeling for my children, doing it by example that they should come to church and what they should do. But for me, it was still like, I'm not sure. But as I was coming, I was seeing what was happening. That's what a marriage should look like. Oh, that's what love is. You know, I started to actually see it, and by seeing it makes a big difference than actually hearing about it. So two commandments I had mastered already. You know, loving God. I love God, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, I didn't love myself, so loving my neighbor was a piece of cake. You know, I had that handled. But I just didn't allow, I mean, I would love God and love other people, but I would not allow people to love me. And I wouldn't allow God to love me at all. So I went on a journey, probably 15-year journey, you know, starting and stopping, trying to figure this out and relearn everything that I was taught because what I was taught was wrong. So I had to relearn and relive and redo all of it. So the Lord walked with me through this journey, and it took quite a while because I would start, I would stop, I'd want to quit. But once my children were grown and they were out of the house, the Lord was like, okay, it's game on. You know, we're going to do this. And reluctantly, I did it. It was hard. It was painful. And boy, I wanted to quit, but I kept going. But when I got to the point of what I understood and I was allowing myself to feel what was going on and this was good, I decided, you know, what better way to honor God but than to be baptized? Because I was made new. Things had changed for me. So being baptized is, means all things are new. So that was kind of sealing the deal for me.
Wow. So thank you for your vulnerability and your honesty with that. And I think all of us... like any relationship that we're in, our relationship with God goes through ups and downs, and it's a lifelong thing, and our motivations can kind of change. And you're explaining, like, different motivations of, like, I want to be in church, you know, it's about my kids versus it's about what God is doing in my own heart. And so, you know, I'm sure a lot of us are in different places in our relationship with God. So, you know, I just want to say thank you for your commitment to say, you know what, this is significant and important enough to me that now as an adult I want to make this commitment to be baptized again. So you started to talk about, like, what the impact of that was and kind of what was going on in your life when you decided to get baptized again 2 years ago. So what impact did that have on you?
Well, the statement of when you get baptized, once you go under, the old's passed away and you're made new. Well, that was an understatement. When I actually got baptized, going under the water and coming up, everything had changed. And I didn't realize and didn't really accept it until later on and think, wow, this is really different, you know. And they say, you know, you go through this and just the peace that God had given me after I had done that. Well, I mean, I had a little bit before, but afterwards was amazing. Nothing I had experienced before. And I was just like, wow. This is it. It's kind of like things, I mean, I came to church, you know, the next Sunday. I was like, wow, you know, I've seen this before, but I'm seeing it through different eyes and it's different. Mm-hmm. And it made everything was different. Everything I did was different because I saw it in a different way. And I was thankful for that. So, you know, just going forward, it's like my past. Once I got baptized, my past was closed off. I had no past. All my baggage and all that kind of stuff. God sealed that door. I can't go back there. I don't think in that direction. It just completely sealed off. So my past started 2 years ago after I got baptized. That's where my past starts.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. So some of us are in places where, like, that sounds amazing and almost like unachievable. Like how do you make that clean break and old things pass away and all things become new? We know Jesus does that, right? The power of the Spirit of God at work in our lives makes those kinds of impossible things possible. And so just as maybe people are sitting here and they're listening to your story, maybe some of them are wondering, you know, maybe baptism's for me. Maybe that's something that I want to consider. Maybe they've been wrestling with this decision. So what, just kind of as a final question before Pastor Allen comes back up, just what would you say to anyone who's sitting here who's kind of in that process thinking that question through?
Well, baptism is kind of a statement that you want to serve God. It doesn't mean you have it all together. It doesn't mean you forget everything you've been through. It just means you get baptized. It just means now you have somebody helping you, a comforter. Not only God, but you got your whole church family as you're here as a church helping you through this. So just because you get baptized doesn't mean things are done. It just means you're starting a new beginning on a new walk, a new journey, and you have somebody walking with you. So the bottom line of baptism is, if you're willing, God is waiting.
Hmm. If you're willing, God is waiting. So we're here to celebrate life-changing moments by recognizing something that truly is life-changing. So, hey, will you guys say thank you to Michelle? All right, Alan.
Oh, my goodness.
I love Michelle's story. It has been a joy watching God change her and mold her and help her along. It's just been very, very encouraging. So we've got some baptisms that we are super excited about. So I'm going to invite my good friend Brent Boyer to come on right up through into the water because I am not in the water. So Brent and his wife, you guys have been married how long now? What? Is that right? 2.5 years? Where'd she go? Oh, you got her up front. Wow. Can you go the other way? I can only go, it only works going this way. It only counts that way. So Brent and I have had some good conversations. He took me out fishing in the rain one day. It was fantastic. The ocean water was actually warmer than the rain. But we had a great conversation coming back. And Brent is on his journey. He knows what God has done for him, and he is seeking out what God has in store for him, and he wants to follow in believers' baptism today. So, Brent, based on your confession of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, love you, man. Amen. Yep. You're welcome, man. Is Miss Rosemarie ready? You girls actually can come on in and come on up the stairs. Yeah, perfect. So this is Miss Rosemarie. She came the other day and expressed her desire to be baptized. And so I said, sure. She knows that God loves her. And she has expressed that she loves God. And she is ready to follow in believers' baptism. So Rosemarie, water's nice and warm, right? Based on your profession of faith on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 So, our next person, this is super special for us. This is going to be an added bonus. It's going to be a little different. So I'm going to ask Miss Leah Hearn to come on in. Leah has been attending our church. She started coming with Lily McIntosh, and I was talking to Lily earlier today. And I wanted Lily to understand that even though she may not be up here, Leah is here because Lily invited her as a friend and started her on this journey. And Leah has been on this journey, and she has wrestled with a lot. And she has come to know that Jesus absolutely loves her, and she loves Jesus. And so she wants to let the church know that she is following him to ask you guys to pray for her. And she is following in believer's baptism today. However, there's been one other special person in her life that has been a huge part of this. And we're actually going to invite Abby Mace to come up. Abby's going to do the baptism today. That's special. So Leah, based on your profession that Jesus is Lord of your life, Abby now baptizes you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know for many of you, that might be a little weird and different. We don't always do that. But on special occasions, when the time is right and we feel it is necessary, we will work to let the person that's had one of the largest influences in their life come and do the baptism. We believe biblically that is okay. And so if you have questions about that, I'd be glad to talk to you about it. But that was something very, very special that you got to celebrate and be a part of. I'm going to turn it over to Tim.
I love my job. I get to baptize children. That's pretty awesome. Three kids, right, Tim? You'll see the big kid at the end. So first we're going to invite Sierra up. This is Sierra Stone. Come on up, Sierra. Sierra is a very special little girl who comes from a very great family. She had a grandfather who passed away some time ago who poured into her, and he really was a legacy for his family. And his daughter, Dawn, and her husband, Jay, along with the rest of the family, have done a great job at showing Sarah the way. But Sarah knows that her walk with Christ is her own walk with Christ, and she understands that Jesus is her one and only God, and she just wants to love him and serve him with all of her heart. So, Sierra, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is David Moses Daniel. Now, what kind of Christian name is that, right? Pastor Allen told him to do a cannonball, and he's sitting there thinking if he really should, you'll get hurt. Come on down, buddy. Come on down. This was David that just was dedicated to the Lord. But David is also, you're going to sit right here, buddy. There you go. Face that way. Say hi to the crowd.
Hi.
Hi. There's your mom. Say hi to mom. You see mom right there? No. Stand up. There they are. All right, put your legs over here, buddy. Like Alan said, it only works this way. I don't know. It's weird. All right, so David is really cool, unique kid, man. He has questions. He follows along in tracks in Children's Church, which I love. You can always know those kids that are hungry for more because they're really focused on what you're saying, and David is one of those. So David, because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'll now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My man. Good job, buddy. Oh. And now here comes the biggest kid of them all. This is my buddy Tim Conley. He just turned 17. I'm just kidding. Yeah, sit that face that way. Were you paying attention to the other ones? Because the other one. So if you don't know Tim Conley is one of those guys, when you get around him, you just love. He just has a heart of gold. He loves to do for others. Him and his family are actually the ones that painted the pink house just because he wanted to. I mean, honestly, that's the kind of guy he is. Yeah. So Tim was brought up Catholic, brought up with a lot of questions because of his upbringing. Just had a lot of questions about church. He kind of got turned off to church. But when he married his wife, which isn't that always how it is, Lindsay brought him back to church. He's been attending here for 10 or more years, and he's really come to understand what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ while he's been here. And what's cool about it is that Tim said to me when I was talking to him, he said, you know, I thought that I had to have it all together, or I had to have my life together before I could proclaim the name of Jesus and get baptized. Man, if that were the case, none of us would be saying it. So Tim now understands that Jesus is going to meet him right where he's at, and that's perfectly great. So Tim, love you, brother. Because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, small.
That's so good, man. So good. So glad you guys are here today. Now, we are getting ready to go eat, but I do have a challenge for you. I don't know if you noticed, but when we were planning this service out, Danielle made a great observation. We started with child dedication, which went to camp, where we make big decisions for Christ, all the way to baptisms, which shows that we are maturing in our faith, we're walking with God, and we are expecting the next big thing. It's a great little roadmap, is it not? It's the way it should be. It's the way that it is. And so I hope that you've enjoyed today from the testimonies, the questioning, the what you have seen. I hope that you have tasted that God really is that good. But one of the things that helps us as we go along is we have to maintain our facility. We got to have a nice place for people to be welcomed and to feel safe and to be encouraged to come in. Would you agree? Years ago, a few years back, we renovated our sanctuary and we renovated our foyer, and you guys were amazing at meeting that need and helping us get that accomplished. We had work done on our fields. There's been other things that we've had to purchase and work through. And you guys are always generous and meet us where we were at. You know it's coming, right? So I know that in the winter, you guys like to be warm. And in the summer, you like to be cool. Well, the heating and cooling units that we have aren't cutting it anymore. They are old. They are dying. In fact, we have 9 of them. And we have shopped around since the first of the year. We entered a state program that actually will give us grant money to help recoup a small portion of the money. But we have to replace 9 of them. And the company that we landed with was Shagren, right here in Middletown. And they worked us a very nice deal. The 9 units, I'm just going to tell you what it is right under $100,000. Now, ton of cash. We have it in the bank. I could write the check today, pay for it all, but we would have nothing left. So I don't want to do that. So here's what we've done already. As a church, we've already replaced 3. 2 in the fellowship hall, 1 in the kids' wing. All 3 of those were dead, dying, and we needed to replace them now. Church has already covered that. So now, what we have left is about $66,000 that we have to raise. When you enter in our bathrooms, aren't they beautiful? They are not. So we're going to also, on top of the 66 that we need to raise, we're going to add another 34. And I'm asking you to help our church raise 100 grand over the next year. If you could do that, if each family could commit to $1,000, that is only $83 a month. That's one less time to Texas Roadhouse, Emma. It's a lot less Chick-fil-A or a lot less Wawa coffee. I know you guys already are generous and you do well with your tithes and offerings. However, this is above and beyond. We are asking you to join us to make this place cool in the summer, hot in the winter, and have a bathroom that you are not scared to go into. Because I don't know if you know it or not, if you've never studied church statistics of why people actually go and the first thing they look for, bathrooms are at the top of that list. Our bathrooms have always been this way since they first built them. It's time to modernize them. It's time to change them up. So would you be willing to pray the rest of this week, and then over the next few Sundays, we will have cards available to you. In fact, we have them available for you right now. I'm going to ask them to pass them out. For some of you, you don't even have to pray about it. Guys, start passing them out. Thank you. One per family would be great. That's all we need. It's a commitment card like we did with the roof, like we did with our foyer. Just pray over it. But again, we are calling it Project Fix It. Finally. We've been talking about fixing our bathrooms for years. We are finally fixing it, but it's for our HVAC units and our bathrooms. Many of you literally could write a check today and take care of a lot of this. I'm not going to stand here and beg you, but I'm not going to stop you either. If you could do it and help another family out that can't commit to the $1,000 a month, commit to whatever you are comfortable to committing over the next year. And again, for some of you, you could come right now and drop a wad, and we would greatly, greatly appreciate that. But please take the time to pray about it. If you already know what you're willing to commit, you can do that as well today. Now, here's another avenue that we've given for you to be able to give. And it's on Tithely. That's what it's going to look like. On Tithely, you can go there and you will see what you can make your own commitment. In fact, we will be tracking it to kind of give us the gauge of what it's going to look like later on. But lots of different opportunities. If you have questions about the HVAC units, come talk to us. If you got questions about the bathrooms, we are still in the process of finding the right person to come and redo them. But they're going to be done right and they're going to be done well. So I know it's a lot of cash, but here's how this is working. We started off with the foyer and with the sanctuary. We also did our roof right after that. This is the next big project that has to be done. These are things that have to be done. The next project after that is going to be renovating our kids' wing. That's the next project that needs to be done. Now, I know many of you are sitting here thinking, well, Alan, 3 years ago you told us we were building a gym. And that's exactly what I told you. The way God works with me is he shoots these things across my bow to get me excited about it. And then he comes back and says, well, there's some other things we've got to take care of first. So the gym is coming. But in order to build a new building to take care of it, we got to take care of what we got. And so that's what we're going to do first. So we're going to start with the HVAC, our project Fix It, with our bathrooms and HVAC, kids wing, and then we'll start talking about a gym. Everybody good? So take those cards, pray over it, think about it. We will have those cards available for you the next few Sundays. So please, please, please help us out. I would love to report next week that everybody turned them in and we've got more than enough money. Realistically, I know it probably won't happen, but that's okay. But please pray about it and consider what you can do to help continue celebrating what God is doing here at Townsend Church. Everybody happy? Good. I am super happy because Dickie's is ready. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm getting ready to pray. I'm going to ask the blessing over our food. When you exit, it would be best if we all exited out this side door. However, there's a lot of us. That's one little door. So if you go out the front doors, go automatically to your left. There are two lines that have already been formed. There's cones out there. Please follow the cones. Lunch is free to you. It is our gift as a Townsend Church to say thank you and to celebrate with you what God is doing here. So not only do we see it, but we're going to go taste how good God is. Right? So if you all stand with me, let's pray. Tom, if you and your crew want to go on out, please go visit Tom and his crew. I'm telling you, they've got great stories. They'll be glad to answer any questions that you have and be glad to shake your hand. Thank them for coming. And then make sure you say something to Dickie's as well. All good stuff. Be nice. That was supposed to be funny. Let's pray. God, thank you for being awesome. Thank you for such a wonderful day of celebration. It's different than probably what we expected. It's different than the norm. But God, the gospel was spoken all day long. Great scripture was shared. Stories were shared to let us see that you really are amazing because we watch you work in the lives of people that are here. Thank you for those that have dedicated their children today. Thank you for those that were baptized. Thank you for those that joined our church. And thank you for the ministry that we get to support in High Point Camp. But God, thank you most of all for being the consistent God that you let us know in scripture that you are. Thank you for being so present here today. I pray that hearts will leave encouraged and challenged. Give us wisdom, God, as to what to do going forward. Thanks for the food that we're getting ready to eat and for Dickie's to be here. I pray that you would bless our time together and our fellowship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go eat.